Hello and welcome back to The Fowler Hour. Today I'm joined by Brian Hollingsworth. He's a brand consultant, designer and a social media stories expert. I asked Brian to join us on the show today because he's been absolutely killing Instagram stories recently, getting incredible engagement and sharing amazing content in a really digestible format. So I also wanted to bring him on the show to talk about his concept of how social is the new CV. We're going to dive into that in a little bit. And also to share his knowledge on how to make engaging story content that you can then apply yourself. Today's show is brought to you by Skillshare, an online learning platform that will help you expand the skills you already have and even take on something new. Now, renowned logo designer Aaron Draplin has just released a new course with 21 tips for design productivity, including some of his personal processes for perfecting his files and his designs. Now you can get 2 free months of Skillshare to watch that course and many others when you go to the link skl.sh/cfowlerdesign and sign up for their free trial. There's no rubbish, no BS, it's just pure quality content. And by doing so and using that link, you help support the podcast. So thank you very much. Now that's done, it's time to get on with the show. Hi everyone, welcome back to The Fowler Hour. Today I have the pleasure of being joined by Brian Hollingsworth. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm good, how are you?
Well, I mean, it's quite early, it's Saturday morning, so we are picking up on the caffeine, but we're getting there, things are going well. Now, Brian is joining us today to talk about the concept of social is the new CV. He works quite heavily with social media, and he's also completely crushing the Instagram stories game at the moment, also setting up his own community stories with stories on the side of that too. Now, I asked Brian to come and join us because he's not a designer. Hey everyone, editing Connor here from the future. How are you doing? Just before you continue the podcast any further, I wanted to say that the second I said Brian wasn't a designer, I knew that something was wrong with that statement. In my gut, you can probably hear it in my voice. It doesn't sound like I'm too confident in that statement, and that's because it's not true. Brian is very much a designer, but I got things mixed up clearly. And he said, just leave it in the show because it's funny. But yeah, I felt a bit awkward about that and I still feel really bad, to be honest. But Brian said it's fine, apologized, all of that type of stuff. But yeah, back onto the show. For transparency's sakes, we're leaving it in and it's kind of funny. So back to the show. Well, he is a little bit. But largely focuses on the idea of social media marketing, consulting, and making sure that you are on top of your game with social media. And as I say, he's absolutely crushing Instagram stories at the moment. And I wanted to bring him on and ask him a bunch of questions about what is the best way to do social media stories? What is the best way to present yourself in this growing marketplace? So before we jump into that, Brian, can you give us a bit of an introduction as to who you are, where you're from, what you're doing at the moment?
Well, you said I wasn't a designer. I'm a designer.
You are, yeah.
That's cool. So I've been designing since I was about 16. Literally went to a summer workshop and saw a Mac and was like, I need one of these.
Wait,
and I need
you to did one of those summer workshops?
Yeah, it was in Goldsmiths University down in London.
They were cool.
So prior to that, I wanted to be an architect. So I was doing loads of architecture in college and I went to a summer workshop one summer and I went back to college and changed my whole subjects and told my mom I needed a Mac and all of this kind of stuff. I didn't get one till like after a year. So I begged my mom for a year. I need a Mac. So before I had a Mac, I was literally in college. And the cleaners kicked me out every day because I was there till like 6, 7. And the cleaners came in and were like, we got to leave, bro. We have to clean the room. Just learning Photoshop, smacking it out. So that's when I started my design career. And that was when I was 16. I'm 29 now. So that's a long time. Yeah. it's a long time. But then along the way, kind of like maybe like 2, 3 years ago, it gets kind of stale when you've been doing it for so long. You've seen loads of clients. You've seen good ones, you've seen bad ones, you've seen amazing ones. And along the way, just like, man, there's something that's missing that maybe I'm not doing. Or, you know, after a few bad clients, you're like, well, not, I won't say bad clients, because I don't know. I can't remember who said it. Was it Christo? Might have been Christo. Everything's Christo, isn't it? Yeah. Something like, if you have a bad client, it's your fault. I can't remember who said it.
One of the things that I found out recently, a lot of people say lots of different things, but there are only clients from hell because designers from hell make them. That's one of my favorite lines at the moment.
Fair enough. They probably had a bad designer teaching them
Well, it's not just that. It's like a bad client is always going to be a bad client. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, they're always going to be a bad client. So it depends who takes them on. And if one person takes them on, then they're stuffed.
That's it. Because when I say bad client, I don't mean like the person's an arsehole. I just mean like the person thinks everything's £50. Everything needs to be done tomorrow. They don't know how to speak to you or what to do. But yeah. So yeah. So then after a while, just like, man, I think there's just something more I can do. And I decided to kind of do branding. I was like, I just kind of thought back about all the experiences I had with people and what I was telling them. And it was like, okay, well, it wasn't just about me designing for you and just letting you go. And one of the things I did get frustrated with was I would design for them and then I would let them go off fly off like a bird, and they would categorically destroy
Oh, where's he gone?
They're not even running their business properly. Or they're not even running their brand properly, I should say. So I was like, so man, and I kept getting frustrated because I was like, I'm putting 125% into doing that work and then it goes nowhere. So it's like, what's the point of me making a great logo and nobody sees it? Or what I think is great, or doing you a good service and nobody sees it. So I started getting into like more brand strategy and teaching them, okay, cool. If you're going to put out your brand, it's not just having an Instagram, Twitter, or any of these, or just saying you've got something. It's about actually having a brand and a business. So I kind of transitioned into more being of a brand strategist, which takes me up to where we are today. So on social media, obviously that's where everybody's marketing their business now and themselves. So I kind of looked at it, and people were becoming successful on social media. As we already know, there's been many success stories. People have been fired from social media too, and people have made it from social media. So that's how I was just looking at it, just watching everything for a while. And I just came up with the social is the new CV. And it just kind of made sense to me. And I guess it kind of kept making sense to me.
Yeah.
So that's how I've kept it. But yeah, primarily I'm a designer. I've been learning After Effects for about two, three years now. So I've picked up After Effects. But I'm a primarily a designer, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I messed that one up. It's fine. I'll switch it out in editing. I'll cut. I apologize. It completely, as I'm going through the list of things on your stuff, I'll clip that bit out and fix that bit in post. But the...
It's funny.
Oh, SmackDown. Okay. Right, yeah. So the concept of social is a new CV, just for our American listeners, because I know that's a majority of you guys. CV is your resume.
It's
what we call it in the UK.
Curriculum vitae.
Curriculum vitae.
Latin, right?
Yeah. God. Can you imagine if people actually went down, I'd like your curriculum vitae, please. Excuse me, sir. Please may you hand me your finest curriculum vitae. But yeah, so when you came up with this concept, was it kind of out of the gate? And what does it actually mean in terms of application? Because I see that as like your header. So if this is like your newsletter, this is like your heading point. And then how do you break that down for people? What do you explain that?
All right. So every time somebody meets you or you're out and you say, hey, my name's Connor Fowler, and you give them your business card, you just introduce your name and they're really interested in you. What's the first thing you think they're going to go do?
Well, it used to be that they'd go and look at your website, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, they would search you on Google, or they'll go to your website's kind of followed. They'll search you up, or they'll search you on Facebook. But now everyone's going to search you on Instagram.
Yeah.
So you're going to type Connor Fowler on Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn, and they're going to see who you are. They could find a video of you doing silly pranks in the street, and they're going to think that's you. Or they could find you educating people about logo design, and they're going to think that's you. So you have the opportunity, because you're going to meet everybody. And I saw a statistic, I can't remember the statistic right now, so I'm not going to give you any numbers, but there's a statistic that something like 75% of jobs you apply for check your CV. So if you're doing silly pranks and you're applying for I don't know, what's a professional job, a banker, they're going to be like, well, this guy's a wally. We don't want this guy doing pranks. What's he going to do?
This
pranks
guy's with a wally.
What's he going to start doing pranks with the people's money?
Look at his curriculum vitae.
So
wally.
So social is a new CV. It's like, just like your CV, you write the best parts of your life on that CV and present it to a professional person or whoever in order for them to have a certain perception of you. So when somebody searches your name, and they will search your name, or if whether you're SEO'd or not, they will find you. Instagram, Twitter, Google, whatever, they'll find you, right? When they search your name, whatever comes up is whatever they'll think of you. Whether they just met you and you presented your best self to them, it doesn't matter. If they find something stupid or disparaging or whatever about you, or tweets that you've said, like, everyone's getting fired from their job because of 1998 tweets.
Like, man, it's like every week. It does feel like Twitter's been around since 1998.
Yeah. Everyone's being fired for tweets, for racist tweets or something stupid they shouldn't have said, and they didn't think of it. They weren't famous enough, but they're getting fired.
I mean, you don't even have to be famous to this type of stuff to come get you. Like,
exactly. There's non-famous people too.
I know that it was like a meme for a while. The guy, the Burger King foot lettuce. Did you hear that? Did you see that?
No.
So there was this dude on, I think it was on 4chan. It became a bit of a meme.
Everything starts on 4chan.
There was a guy on 4chan who basically was posting photos of him treading with like his dirty work boots all over the fruit and veg at like Burger King or Subway.
Oh, wow.
And because 4chan's like anonymous.
Yeah.
It's not quite like a Google search for the name. But like, it's kind of a disgusting idea, but it gets to your point of like, it doesn't have to be your name. It doesn't have to be a video you posted online. It could be an anonymous photo, and all someone has to do is backtrack the IP and they can find you.
Like, and they can find you.
If you want to go super deep with that kind of nasty privacy side, but just in general, you're so right that, I mean, if someone gets in touch with me through my client form, I immediately Google their business.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I do as well.
Yeah.
I Google or Instagram everybody, absolutely everybody. You meet someone now, you don't take their number, you take their Instagrams. So you're going to see what they're about from their pictures, because that's the perception they're giving off. So whether they're half naked, whether they're fully dressed, whether they're doing fashion, whether they're baking cakes or playing with glitter, that's the impression you're going to get. Not the impression that you just met them with, because that's fabricated. That's their first impression that they've practiced in their head. Like, hey, when I meet someone today, I'm going to be like, my name is Brian, and I'm going to shake their hand, I'm going to look in their eye, I'm going to ask them if they want a drink, because that's socially acceptable. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But you don't get to do that online. They get their perception from what you put out. So you have the power to give them whatever perception you want. Like, you might meet Gary Vee in the street one time, and he might be in a rush, so much so that he won't say hello to you, even though he always does. But just imagine that one day he doesn't say hello to you. You're going to think, oh, that guy's a bit of an asshole. But then you go online, you're thinking, he's the most inspirational, life-saving Jesus character you've ever seen. But then, you know, which one are you going to take? You'll probably take the one online because it's got thousands of videos showing how amazing he is. But
so does that not kind of come back the other way? In that, because there's a lot to be said about people who are fake. It's actually a comment I was discussing, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, was that the whole idea of fake it till you make it is kind of a big problem with social at the moment. And I see from my perspective that the idea of having an online persona is kind of like, that's a normal thing. Like, people, depending on who the context is, what the context is, people will change how they behave, how they act.
Of course.
Type of stuff. Like, I'm a different person at a networking event. I know.
Yeah, of course.
To being
you're a different person when you're talking to your mum.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly normal. But
yeah, of course. Yeah.
When you're talking about kind of the idea of meeting someone in person and seeing them online, is there any negative to being super different online now? Or do you need that transparency?
I don't think so. I think people get it. I think people know that if you meet someone in real life, they're not going to be the same as they are. Like for instance, let's do this example. Beyonce. If you see her on stage, you know, she's known to be Sasha Fierce. You know, she's known to be dancing and all that kind of stuff. Apparently, if you meet her in person, she's really like, hey, I'm Beyonce, how are you? It's like, duh, of course you're Beyonce. But then that's like a humble side of her, even though she's aware that everybody knows who she is, but doesn't mean she should walk in the room like, hey, I'm Beyonce. She doesn't come across as like, hey, I'm the super mega star of the world. Or even Michael Jackson. Every time you see him on stage, he's like, ah, ah. He's like, he's another person, right? But then when you see him in interviews, like, hey, my name's Michael, and hi, I'm still your friend, and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. It seems like it's two different people. But so I think people already understand that, hey, you're somebody here and you're somebody there. As long as it's not wildly different, because obviously it's not the entertainment industry.
I think that's probably why people get away with it so much. Well, get away with it. That's how it's like acceptable. So if you're like, if you're on stage in some kind of fashion, so that's in like as an entertainer, like an athlete, you're a celebrity. So even like actors kind of can't even get away with it because they're not playing themselves, they're playing other characters. But when it comes to social side, as you say, like if you're going for a job or something like that, someone looks you up, when you're building that kind of audience out, do you think it ever be a problem? Because I know that one of the big things I try to be is as authentic as possible. I know that you do that through a large portion of your story content as well, or at least it feels like, having met you, that it's like very similar. It's not like a massive disconnect. You're not trying to be Sasha Fierce.
But the thing is as well, it's actually very easy to be somebody else in social media.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the person or the people, that amount of people right in front of you. So it's very easy to be like, to have that disconnect, because it just seems like a number on a screen or people that are just liking your stuff. So for instance, like I'm very like wild and like kind of funny and, you know, really like, hey, what's up? If I meet somebody, but then sometimes initially I'm not really like that. It might take me a beer or hanging around you for an hour to be like, hey, I'm this guy. I just kind of take it slow, just more so to kind of gauge, okay, is that person like a cool guy? Like, can I be all around them, or are they very serious?
When we first met at that Future kind of relaxed coffee event with Chris Doe, like a few days, like this time last year.
Yeah.
You seemed quite quiet.
Yeah.
And I was a bit like...
But the thing is...
I get it.
And the thing is with me as well, personally, I like to listen. So if I'm going somewhere where there's someone that's talking about something, I don't want to, there doesn't need to be a personality clash or doesn't need to be a thing. It's like, that's his event. I literally go there to listen. So like when somebody's talking, I'll just literally just shut my whole self down and listen to what you're saying. You're like, if it's a social setting, that's different. I'll be the loudest person in the room. I'll be the joker. I'll be the one telling all the jokes. I'll be the one leading conversations and me jumping in. But if it's a listening event, I completely shut down and listen. Or if I'm talking to someone, I'd like to listen and let you finish. So I'm not just, so it doesn't come across like, oh, I'm just waiting for you to finish and just say what I'm going to say anyway. Yeah, I'm going to hear what you're saying. Yeah. And respond to what you're actually saying. But yeah, anyway, back to the socials of the CV. So yeah. So for me, you're always going to get searched. And you need to be able to present yourself in a certain way that you want people to perceive you. So it's like, for instance, if you're famous, you're inevitably going to be seen on the street. You're either The Rock, who takes pictures of everybody, or you're either, I don't know who doesn't take pictures of people, but some asshole who doesn't take pictures with people and just walks past and runs off. Who do you want to be?
You can either be The Rock or you can be Gene Simmons. Loads of stories about him.
Oh, seriously.
But yeah, so what would be some... I want to get onto the ideas of curating and creating content, which I know that a lot of people are going to want to talk about. But just to wrap this topic up, what would be some big red flags for you? What would be... So maybe you've met... Like, I don't know. Let's keep this in context. Let's say you've met this designer at an event. I'm not going to give any names, so I don't want to kind of slap anyone down. But let's say you met someone at an event and you go to find them online. What would be some immediate turnoffs for you? That, like, what would be such a disconnect? Or have you seen anything like that? Some big red flags?
I haven't seen anything, but probably a red flag would be, like, you've met... The thing is, everybody's somebody else online. Whether... It's just automatic. You're going to be some other part of yourself online, because it's so much easier to let another side of yourself out. And that's why you get all these old tweets coming up, because it's so much easier to let another side of yourself out, because there's that disconnect. So like, for instance, like, I don't know, if I met somebody, or if I saw them online first and they were acting like, hey, I've got this big studio, and then you meet them and you don't kind of get that big vibe as in like, I don't think that person really has a big studio, you know? They're just like one person sitting behind a computer, just like the rest of us. So it's like, there's a difference between being another part of yourself and just outright lying. Like, some people are just outright fake and lying. It's a thin line, but it's there. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, when you said, oh, I was quiet. Yeah, because I was in a different place. Online, I'd be like, hey, this person's a... I don't really say twat or idiot, but like, this is stupid or that's stupid. But you didn't get that from when you saw me because that's so much easier for me to type that than it is for me to act that in front of people I don't know. So there's a thin line in terms of, yeah, that person's just really, that's not the impression of that person I gave. Yeah, like, or you can meet someone that's acting all really inspirational on Instagram. You meet them and it's some 12-year-old kid. And you're like, well, what the hell does this guy know about life? But he's putting out all these quotes on his thing, stoic quotes and all sorts and financial advice. And it's like some 12-year-old kid.
Yeah, my favorite at the moment is getting adverts from Forex, like 17-year-old Forex traders.
Exactly, like in suits that don't even fit them, right? They're like, just, well, what are you going to... This is a pyramid scheme, isn't it?
Whose uncle's Lamborghini is this exactly? It's like my favorite thing to see. It's just, hey, come and join our course. And then, yeah, it's like, mate, you don't even stand up to my shoulder. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so kind of in terms of those red flags, there's nothing wrong with context. So
no,
I know a lot of people who are very introverted in person. And yeah. For me personally, I'm typically quite an introverted person, but I force myself to not be. And that's kind of something I've had to deal with over the last 8 years or so. But when it comes to meeting certain people, if you meet someone online first and then you meet them in person, that can for me be quite a big disconnect, because sometimes they are very different. And I think a lot of people don't realize that that's okay. It's okay to be, as you said, it's different contexts. So if you're going to an event and listening to people, you're a different, or you behave slightly differently than you do right now, or talking to your mum, as you said. And that context is really important. And I think a lot of people need the validation to say that it's okay to be slightly different in different places, but just don't lie, because that will come and get you.
Yeah, you're not going to be your Snapchat self at an interview.
No, don't feel so good. Filters. Like,
exactly. So, yeah, it's okay, but you know, in saying like social is the new CV, that doesn't mean like, oh, if you're looking for a job, delete all your social media and only wear suits and look like you did it. No. Like, my Instagram account, be human. My Instagram account only qualifies me. Same with yours. Your Instagram account qualifies you. Whether you're talking about a bad client experience or this or that, it qualifies you more so if you're going for a job, because it's like, okay, this person knows what the hell they're talking about. And a while ago, my partner asked me like, but Brian, social is a new CV. Does that work for everybody? I'm like, absolutely. She's like, but what if I want to work in a nursery? Like, what, do I create content about nurseries? I'm like, absolutely. You could go on Instagram, and whether you're studying in college, you could talk about child development and da da da. You could be teaching other moms about child development, and you could start a whole community about teaching other moms about child development, and you can go and apply for a job in a nursery and actually not just have it in theory, but be doing it in real life and talk about your experiences at the nursery and all that kind of stuff. She was like, wow, okay, cool. Because she used to work in a nursery. So she was like, so how would it get me a nursery job? I'm like, you can absolutely get you a nursery job, because they're going to search you. And like, even when I had a job in Kenya, when I got there, they were like, oh, Tiny Temper's here. And the reason why they called me Tiny Temper was because they searched me on the internet and they thought I looked like Tiny Temper. They searched me on Facebook and they were like, oh, can we, I don't like Tiny Temper, by the way, but they were like, oh, can we confess? I'm like, yeah, go sure, what's up? They're like, oh, we searched you before you got here on Facebook. So if I was chatting load of crap about
being
I don't know, chatting a load of crap, I'm like, well, this guy's a bit of a jackass, isn't he? Or something. So yeah, I guess they thought I was a all right guy or whatever, right? So yeah, and it's inevitable.
To build on that idea, talking about your partner and how to, I think one difficult thing, which I would love to dive in on your thoughts on, is people don't know how to create content around what they do.
Yeah.
As a general rule. It's easier when you work in either a audio-based, like if you work in a creative field. So if you work in radio, you know how to make content because you work in audio.
Yeah.
If you work at a publishing house, you probably know how to write something. If you're a creative designer or a creative artist, you can take pictures or scans of your own work and upload that to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's think about this from a designer's perspective. I've had people message me quite a bit in the past to say, how do I showcase what I do? How do I share what I do? How do I create content around what I do? Because it's not just a case of finishing a logo and putting it on the internet in black and white. There's a lot more to that. So what would you recommend to people who are unsure of where to start, let alone where to go?
First of all, I think a lot of people overthink it, and I've been through it, where you've overthought the feed because you're looking at everybody else's feed and it's like, this is the Tate Gallery on Instagram. Like, this is perfectly curated. This is like, how the hell am I going to at least try and do this or keep up with this? They've got 50,000 followers. I've got 918. And you get analysis paralysis because it's like, man, you know, I don't think my logos are as great or they're not as finished. Or I don't know how to present them like they've done it or whatever. So the first thing you need to do is stop overthinking it and stop looking at other people's pages first, because that's going to throw you off. It's like when you're running a race, don't look to the left or don't look to the right. Just look ahead, because you're going to get thrown off. And that split second you get thrown off, you've lost the world record and you've lost your personal best and you've lost the race. So first of all, stop looking at everybody's Instagram, because everybody's doing their own thing and everybody's figured out how to do their one and it works for them. Second of all, what the hell do you do? So whatever it is you do, if you're a designer, let's say you're a designer, everyone's designing logos these days. So let's throw that out the window because that's a bit of an easy one. So let's say you're a designer and you're a bit more than logos. You want to get into branding or web design and all that kind of stuff. So you could just present the logo like everybody else does and say, hey, this is the final product. This is the logo. Look how amazing it is. Look at these Bezier curves.
Look at these damn curves.
Look at all these sexy curves. It's better than the other guys. I've put it on a table. I've put it in a truck. I've put it on everywhere. It's amazing. That is amazing. Everybody's done that. There's this phrase that says, I think it's Martin Neumeyer. He says, when everybody zigs, you zag. So if everybody's going left, you go right. If everybody's doing that perfect logo thing, try something else. I've seen a lot of people do the sped up videos. What do you call those?
Time lapses.
The time lapses, yeah. The time lapses of them making the logo. Again, not everybody can do that. I don't do logos in 2 hours like that. Sometimes I do a bit of logo, go eat lunch, come back.
Time lapse, you eating lunch.
Come back again. The time lapse would just be nothing for 3 minutes, which represent 3 hours. You know, go come back. So it doesn't work like that for me. You could purposely sit there and be like, hey, I'm doing a time lapse, and then try and figure it out. But maybe not everybody works that way. So try and do something different. So what do you do on a daily basis? You could talk about, where was that? Yeah, so what else do you do? So I think we all, as designers, because we're looking at other people's stuff, we all kind of get caught up in thinking, I need to do what they're doing. I need to present it like that. And if I'm not presenting like that, I'm not going to be in the in crowd. But what they don't realize is that people actually want different things sometimes. Like, people are going to get bored of just seeing perfect logos all the time. Like, I don't even look at it anymore because I'm like, okay, well, I feel like I've seen that before. I've seen that last week. So what else do you do in terms of being a designer? It's not just having a final product. There's a lot of process that goes in it. Why do you stop talking about your process? Because that qualifies you as well. So if I'm a client or a recruiter or a person who owns a studio or someone who works in-house somewhere, and I'm stumbled upon graphic design Instagram, and I'm looking at all these perfect logos, and I'm like, okay, right, these are amazing. How did they get to this? How don't I know they just didn't download a template or just copy someone else or just, you know, stole it from someone else? I don't know that, because all I can see is this perfect final thing. The perfect final thing is amazing, but that's for the company. As a recruiter, as a manager, as a studio owner, I want to know how your mind works. So if you show me the final logo and go way past at the beginning and talk about, okay, well, I'm documenting this logo from the start, as much as the client would let you, obviously. I'm documenting this logo from the start. This is my process. You would probably have an amazing amount of people thanking you for showing you their process and be like, wow, okay, well, I didn't do that. I want to add that to my process. Oh, well, yeah, I do that as well. And now you're going to get someone that could possibly hire you because you're such a fit with their own process. Or they like the way you did stuff and they can see that, well, okay, well, we can help you here more. Or this is what we do as well. And you seem like a perfect fit because not only can they see your process, they can see your personality because you'll be talking about it. Whether it's your face, whether it's your hands, or whether you're doing loads of B-roll and you're just talking over it, or even if you start a podcast talking about your process. If you start, and people do, these are like case studies, but like taking the case study further and actually using your voice to talk about it. You might be shy, but write about it, write long blog posts about it, whatever, you know, is best for you, like doing video writing or talking about it. If you showcase another side of this design thing that you do, other than, hey, here's a funnel, a logo. It's not a uni product, it's a uni project. But even saying that, even in uni or in college, they want to see you working out. Like when you do maths, hey, show me you're working out. Because I want to know that you've just done this in your head. You need to prove to me how you made this, how you got to this, how you found X.
Man, I got caught for that so many times. Like,
even if you do it in your head, right, okay, the answer's correct.
Yeah,
the answer's right, but that's not what we want. You get 8 points for doing showing you're working out and 2 points for getting the answer right. But we seem to have forgotten that in graphic design and Instagram. So you could show you're working out. And that's just one thing I think, you know, people do. Because I got caught up in just, hey, this is the logo design. I think everybody's been caught up in it. And it's amazing. It's nice. And it's so nice to see it. But if you said, hey, here's the logo design, but here's the 30-minute podcast I just did or the 30-minute video I just did, you can catch on YouTube of me taking you through every step. So the discovery I did with the client, the drawing I did or the drawing I didn't do, or the research I did and the steps and the hiccups that we had and all of that and how we got over the hiccups. You're actually showing everybody that, wow, this person really knows what they're doing. They're really handling themselves and I admire that and I'm going to follow that person's example. And you could get hired. Again, social is the new CV because you can get hired off showing your process. If you just show the final thing, you still have to go to an interview and prove that this you did it. But imagine if you went to an interview and you don't have to prove that you did it because they've witnessed you doing it and they're just kind of just calling you in just to see your personality. I've gone to an interview before and they were talking like I already had the job. My manager now, he was like, it's like 3-4 years ago, he was like, your CV was shite. Said to my face, CV was shit. But I saw your portfolio and I knew you was the one I had to get you in. So he just called me in for a necessity and was like, yeah, I just want to see how cool you were. basically, not in so many words. So I kind of already had the job because, you know, based on my portfolio, he had seen, okay, well, this guy's clearly qualified. But then imagine you have your portfolio and you have your Instagram that you've got all this amazing content about you talking about it. And it's completely different from everybody else's who's just showing about it. You've never seen their face. You don't know who they are, but they've seemingly got these amazing logos. Well, then I'm going to be like, there's a massive disconnect here. Yeah, you've got amazing logos, but I don't even know if you've got a beard, if you've got an accent, if you've got anything like that. Do you get it? So like with Borgasm, he's got amazing work. If he never showed his face, there would have been a little bit of a disconnect because there's so many other accounts that do those post every day things that some look very similar to his. Some are just doing their own thing. But, and I've seen a few of them and I've noticed you don't know who they are. So when you don't know who somebody is, there's a massive disconnect as well. So if you kind of just put a bit more of yourself out there, because a designer isn't just their logos. Like I said, I was a designer and I got frustrated because, not was a designer, I am a designer, but I got frustrated because I felt like I could be giving them more. And I felt like clients failing in their business, or I'm doing a logo for them and their business doesn't even last 6 months. I felt like it was my fault because I didn't tell them how to brand and how to kind of keep going or how to do it. And I thought, well, okay, let me start offering another part of me that I know I can do. And I have been doing, I just haven't been doing it at a certain level or scale. But yeah, so in terms of that, so you do something that's more than a logo and you just need to show that. You just need to figure it out. Like I wasn't comfortable in front of a camera, but what the hell did I do? I kept recording myself on my phone for like a week straight or something like that. Just on my phone and just deleting it. Sent to my partner, hey, what do I look? This is cool. Like, do I look comfortable? Do I look uncomfortable? A lot of the footage was me looking to the left, looking to the right, looking to the left while I was talking and saying, And I said, well, I need to get that out. So I kept practicing until I felt comfortable enough to just speak in front of the camera, looking to the left or looking to the right and saying, And then that's when I did my first video. And even then I was still bloody nervous. But then I knew if I want, for me personally, if I knew if I wanted to connect with people, I had to show my face. Me just typing on the screen wasn't going to cut it. So, yeah.
You need to stop overthinking it by the sounds of it. Well, in general, yeah. Other people. That's the process.
Yeah.
The process is...
That is the process.
When you're overthinking things, this is one of the reasons that I actually stopped sharing content for, basically up to this point have stopped for now, is because, as you say, you see the same thing everywhere. And you see even things like time-lapse videos. To go right back to the beginning of your point, people are just copying what they are seeing. They are not referring to what they are doing themselves. And I think that largely is due to overthinking. It's largely due to them being scared of, as you say, being the purple cow. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
of being the purple cow in the room, or even thinking that what they could produce could be better, or that it could be an icebreaker for someone trying to reach out to them for work. So going to your point with that interview, your portfolio, your process, your creative drive, all the things summed up in that portfolio, they saw that was your icebreaker. That was your icebreaker for getting that job. And then your manager, your future manager, calls you in to basically say, right, is he insane?
Yeah.
Is he going to be a problem, or is he going to fit the culture?
Yeah. Does he have piercings all over his face?
Exactly. Is he going to be a problem? And if you're not, and you can do that icebreaking bit by sharing your process and your content, as you said, that's going to be...
Because when I went to the interview, that's what they asked me about. They were like, oh, like, how would you do this? Or how'd you start that? But if I had said that on my Instagram or something, they wouldn't have seen it already. They would have no questions to ask me, because it's like, I already want you for the job. I'm begging you to take, they'll beg you to take the job. So, yeah.
That's also something that is worth mentioning, is that you can make content that's evergreen.
Yeah.
So it will be on your account. You can repost it. You can update it. You can do whatever you want with it, and it will always be applicable.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like, it's hard work. And that's why I think a lot of people are going to do it. And it's like, you have to give the other side of you as well. And it's like, it's a risk. So it's hard work and it's a risk. And you have to take a step back and be like, well, what's the other side of me that I can give? And you might not want to give it, but if you want to stand out and you want to kind of not be like everybody else and not be so stale, and you want to try something new, you're going to have to do something else. You're going to have to do the work. So yeah, there's loads of things you could do. It doesn't even have to be your process. It could just be your work-life balance or something. It could be, I don't know, you could review other people's work. I don't know. There's a million things you could do in terms of content. You just have to kind of find what fits with you best. Some people are amazing writers. I'm not a writer, so I don't write. I talk. I can talk a lot. I can be on 15 podcasts. You know what I mean? So that's my thing. That's what I do. That's why I'm always doing loads of stories, typing up. You don't see me writing blogs, because I can't write a blog to save my life. I'd die. They had a gun to my head and say, write a blog, Brian. I'd die.
We want 2,000 words by tomorrow morning.
I'd die. So yeah, there's a part of you that you can give other than, hey, this is a logo. It's like everybody else's. Show the logo. That's amazing. But there's another part you can give that's a bit harder to get out. But if it's harder to get out, that's the best part, because everybody's going to do it. Exactly. And you're going to be the one seeing doing it. That's why the future is so big, because nobody else does content like that. Just I don't know how many.
Almost nobody else talks about that.
There are other people that do content like that.
I mean, in general, like to add to your point, the content type is unlike anyone else who's doing it, even if other people are doing the same topic. But it's the topics as well. But the content they share is obviously above and beyond what a large portion of people are doing in terms of the design education space. But to get that information, you used to have to dig through books.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you'd have to dig through 20 or 30 different books, and someone has already done that and they're making it into a video content for you, which is why it's so valuable. Which is, hang on, one sec. Someone's just rang the doorbell.
But yeah, just to kind of, because I said a lot, I think I was speaking kind of fast too. But anyway, just to kind of, not wrap it up, but consolidate like some actionable tips. If you're a designer, and you're looking at other people's stuff, stop, sit back, and look at what you do. Yeah. Oh.
Go on. Where's the rest?
If you're a designer, stop looking at people's stuff first. Go into a corner somewhere. Close your laptop. Close Dribbble. Close Behance. Close Instagram. Close Pinterest. Close them all. Stop looking at it. Look at yourself. So what the hell do you do? What, you know, when you're going through, it's either your process, you talk about it amazingly, you deal with clients amazingly. Some people are amazing at talking to clients, and some people are completely trash, but they're amazing at doing the work. If you're amazing at dealing with clients and talking to people and liaising and connecting people, showcase that. If you're amazing at doing the work, showcase that. If you're amazing about talking about the work, showcase that. If you're amazing about talking about the process, showcase that. So take a step back, and whatever you do, look at yourself and what it is you think you do other than have this amazing final product. Because everybody's got an amazing final product. That's the whole bloody point. You have an amazing final product. So take a step back. Write some notes. I don't know. Record a video or whatever. Whatever it is you do, make content around that. And try and stand out. Try and be different. Don't do what everybody else does. That's why I've stopped putting up stuff on Hollingsworth. And two, I haven't put up stuff like probably as long as you, probably even longer. Because I haven't figured out the other part, because I'm like, I don't want to just keep putting up work. That means I have two portfolios. I've got my website and I've got my Instagram. I don't want to have my Instagram as a portfolio. Doesn't make sense. I don't want to get people inquiring in my DMs. I don't know. Yeah.
And yeah, the difficulty with all of that type of stuff is the world moves very quickly. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, Connor hasn't posted for 4 months at this point because he's lazy. It's not that. It's that you reach a point where, I mean, I said this to Lisa Jacobs when I saw her over a couple of weeks ago. I said that we stopped posting content, but people still talk about our names.
Mm.
Like, we'll regularly be tagged in stuff. We'll regularly be spoken about in groups and events. Like, and it's because you made your mark. It's because you did something that other people weren't doing, and they recognize that. And even if the audience is only 10 people, if you make that impact, if you do what you're saying, Brian, which is go the opposite way when you zag when everyone's zigging, or zigging when everyone's zagging, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you can find that and put that, it's only like a tiny amount more work than other people are doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 10 and 11.
Yeah.
If everyone's doing 10, you do 11. Yeah. You don't have to do 15, you don't have to do 20.
No,
just do 11. You don't even have to do 12. Like, have you changed your content type before?
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like multiple times.
Exactly. I've changed my content type multiple times. And every time I've changed it, like, not just, oh, I just changed the color or the text or the font or whatever. No. I've literally changed, just tweaked the subject a bit, or just added a new subject to it, or talked about something else. I literally start getting more impressions, reach, or whatever you want to call it, right?
It can literally be just making right long captions. Like,
yeah,
the amount of people that I see who, just as a basic actionable tip that you can take away, is just write longer captions and actually say, talk about the process. I started doing that and immediately noticed a difference. People always like, oh, it's just so much to read. We'll put a TLDR at the bottom of it. Like, whatever. Yeah, so let's kind of move this forward through. I know we've stopped a couple of times because of parcels and stuff and nonsense, but let's move on to stories, because we're talking about not sharing content that's kind of pointless. It's got to have a purpose. It's got to have a focus. And stories are one of those things that they disappear.
Yeah.
Now, you post a lot of story-based content. Now, firstly, why is that? What do you see the benefit of that being?
Oh, man. The reason why, because it's so easy. So for a long time, I think, it kind of started out, everybody was posting anything on their feed, whether it was Facebook, whether it was Instagram. And Instagram became super high visual. Maybe somebody somewhere decided to say, I'm going to kill this game. I'm going to put the highest quality content on Instagram. And everybody started following suit. And now everybody's feed is like the Louvre. It's like going to the MoMA. Yeah. And now everybody's like, damn, if I'm not coming in this game looking like blah, blah, blah.
This is not Milan Fashion Week. I don't know what it is.
Exactly, that I've already lost. So now it's harder to post on the feed because the quality has to be like bloody hell, mate, this is a picture of the Earth from the NASA space station 50. Like, you get what I mean? Like, it's like, if you don't have the next red, if you didn't take this photo on the next red camera or this video on a red camera, don't even bother. And with stories, you don't have to do that because it's just on your phone. So with stories, it's so much easier and less daunting to post. So that's why everybody's going crazy off it, because you don't have to think, man, am I going to get this much likes? Am I going to get this much comments? Is it going to fit with the colors in my feed? There is no feed. It's just the next slide. It doesn't matter. It could be grainy as hell. It could be, I know some people do like super high quality and they edit their stuff. That's fine. You could be at the either end of the spectrum and no one's going to be like, well, this was crap. This is crap content. No, because you understand that it's live. It's semi-live. You know, you've taken it in the moment and you're pointing it out. And it's so easy. You take a picture, chukur, post it. No one's ever taken a picture, chukur, and posted it right to their feed. Not in the last 5 years. Maybe I'm wrong, but nobody knows them.
the amount of people who... I mean, you can go both ways with it, can't you? Because, as you say, it is like a semi-live. And that's one of the things, when Instagram brought out stories, that was the whole point. The point was, we want the bits in between. And they want you to post the bits kind of in between. Now, I know this refers back to the analysis paralysis, but I've, in discussions with people over the last couple of months, is things like they love posting stories. They love posting and gathering this content, but they don't really know what to share. And they're worried that they can't focus all their time on doing the work and like fit in time to make all this and document all of this stuff. Mm. So I know you curate quite a lot of your content as well that you share on stories. Now, from my perspective, I used to think that, and I say, be very clear with this, I used to think that sharing other people's content and curating content on a feed was a really bad thing to do if you were trying to build some kind of client base. Because the thought is the same with Behance, for example, is you don't want Behance to be your main portfolio site because someone can do one click and be on another designer's page. So, and it also felt a little bit unprofessional. So did you have to go through any kind of mind switch to that? What's the thought process behind curating content as much as you are creating it?
You have to kind of realize that everything's probably kind of curated. So Instagram doesn't make any photos. Instagram curates your photos.
That's actually, I've never considered that. Instagram's whole thing is shared. Yeah. Like, is literally built on the idea.
Even Instagram's Instagram account is other people's Instagram accounts.
Their logo's so a camera, but they've never actually taken a picture.
Exactly. There you go. God. There you go. Did you get it? The same.
It's too early on Saturday to be talking about.
I just took you out of the matrix. It's the same thing. Airbnb doesn't own any houses. You know, you've seen it. Uber doesn't own any cars. That's curation. Do you know what I mean? The street itself, like the high street, is curated. Like, I don't know if you've you're familiar with real estate or commercial buildings and stuff. If there's three corner shops on a high street within a certain distance, and somebody comes and says, "I want to open another corner shop," they're not going to let you because there's already too much here. So we are curating this high street. But there's another reason why they're allowed two Starbucks within a mile. They're curating the high street. So you can't, you know, they're not going to allow you to have so much stuff on this feed. And that's why they've got the algorithm and stuff, because they're extra curating you. And I don't think I ever had a problem with it in the beginning, now that I'm thinking about it. I think I was always trying to look for examples to show people, because I didn't want it to be like me. And I knew I didn't know everything. You know I mean? When you go, like, again, when you go to an art gallery, Tate doesn't produce any work. It's other people's work that they're putting in a room, and they say, okay, well, this person needs to be next to this person because of this or that or whatever, right? Most things are curation. So I didn't think, so for me, you kind of have to take myself out of the mindset, or other people out of the mindset of, I can't possibly come on here and act like I know everything. There's other experts that I can show you to. And hey, look, this guy is really cool. Someone that I listen to, or someone that I just found. And I love what he's saying. I think it would help you if you heard what he's saying. Because I spend a lot of my time looking at, reading articles, reading books, watching videos. I don't really listen to podcasts that much. But if I do stumble upon something, I will listen to it and I'll chop it up and share it. So if I'm getting all this information, if I came to everybody and tried to act like, hey, this is even if I remixed it, this is what I know. yeah, I would come out as the expert, but then I'd still be lying to you, because that's not what I came up with. If I came in here and said, when you zigzag, and I didn't quote the person who actually bloody said it, you might find it. Or, you might find it and think, guy's a thief.
Yeah, but that's the difference. The difference between a way to kind of consider the idea of curation is that there is nothing wrong with sharing what you have learned.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do that. I try and do that every single day. And unfortunately, a lot of what I share is kind of ground level.
Mm.
But if you're doing stuff like talking about stuff from a book, or you've learned something from a specific person, like, bring that up, mention that.
Yeah.
Like, show that you are associating with this type of content. And then, as you say, maybe share the source as well.
Yeah, and that qualifies you as well, because it's like, well, this person is so into what he does. He lives it. He clearly lives it. Mm. It's like, there's a difference between it being something that you do and it being your lifestyle. Like, I've got 70 tabs open on my phone alone, about 30 on my computer.
Mate, I don't even look at your bookmarks. Like,
all of them are about some kind of branding. I've got story content that I've screenshotted in my phone. It's backed up for at least 2 weeks. And sometimes I don't put it out because I'm like, hey, maybe not today. Or maybe something else came out. And then I've done already 30 stories and I'm like, okay, cool, I can't do no more today because I've clearly done too much. And if I do any more, people are just going to tune out. So, and the thing is, it's like, when you're curating something, people appreciate that you brought something to their knowledge that I didn't know before. So it's like, okay, cool, this guy's so bad, he's searching all the internet for us and he's serving up this food. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you go to a restaurant, they didn't raise the fish or the chicken. They curated that plate for you, mate. They went around to the chicken market, the fish market, picked the chicken and fish, cooked it for you, presented it for you, and now you're thanking the chef as if he took it from the chicken farm to your plate. No, he didn't, he just cooked it. So it's like, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm the chef. I've gone to the internet, found all this amazing chicken for you, cooked it up. Because when I'm screenshotting articles, I don't just screenshot the whole article. I read it and I cut out the bits where I think is pure waffle. And I serve the bits to hopefully to you guys. And then even when I've served the paragraph that I think is the most effective, I underline it just to tell you that this bit here is the best bit of this paragraph that I've chopped.
Gold digging.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. Digging for the valuable nuggets. I like that you just said. This is a really good way to actually consider it. Is that you're the chef?
Yeah.
And everyone else is in your restaurant.
Exactly. And I'm presenting to you, and you're going to eat, and you're like, this is nice. And sometimes it's not nice, and you fail, and you have to give a discount, or you have to give them a free coupon to come back for a free meal, or whatever, right? So again, like, you're serving up what you find, because if you're really into it and you really do what you do, you're not sitting in a room thinking about everything. And no, because you have to learn about it. You're going to keep constantly learning. To this day, I still do tutorials on Photoshop. Why? Because some things I've forgotten, some things I've started doing wrong, some things I could do better, some are new features. It's real simple. So, you know, there's no such thing as you're stealing somebody's content. I never crop out the name. I never just copy and paste it and I've just said this. But for the most part, everybody curates. Celebrities curate. Instagram themselves curate. So there can't be anything wrong with it, because you're using your platform to give somebody else a platform and to show somebody else something else that would help them, because you can't possibly know everything. And if you are acting like you kind of know everything, you're only going to get tired. You're absolutely only going to get tired. And the best thing about it as well is that you can add your opinion to it. You can be like, I dislike this or I like this. And I realized, I was just saying this yesterday to my partner, I was like, I feel like people admire an opinion. People like a stance. People don't like someone that's on the fence. Well, I like it and I don't like it at the same time. No, pick one, bro. So if you're, on this side, if you support Chelsea, okay, we know that you support Chelsea. Everything you do is Chelsea. If you're like, well, I like Chelsea, but Arsenal paid really, that's not how it works. You pick one, and people like a strong opinion about something, and people just like a general opinion about something, because that's what we're really talking about here. We're really discussing my opinion on this thing I've clipped. And I either say, I don't like it, or I do like it, or I do like it, and these are the best bits, or I don't like it, but this bit is cool. And then that's where we start talking. I could just post the thing and let you read it, and that's it. But the fact that I'm like, nah, that's just, this is the dumbest thing since
that guy. I say stuff like that all the time. You can't just sit on the fence, because if you sit on the fence, everyone's just going to be like, oh, well, he's not sharing anything of value here. It's just kind of like, you're trying to build a tribe. You're trying to build an audience here. You can't build an audience if you don't have an opinion or you don't have a stance on something. Now, to kind of summarize what we've discussed here, just correct, jump in on here at any point.
Yeah. But
with Instagram stories specifically, and just curating and sharing content, because stories are a great way to live in the moment. Now, what we've just discussed is the kind of the following things: is you need to be documenting your process and showcasing every single or a large portion of the steps as much as you can along the way, because that's what differentiates you from someone else's process. Still share that high quality product, because that's also really important. But as you say, adding to that pool is the curation of something valuable. Now, when you're thinking about your audience, that doesn't have to be, well, going back to the idea of a restaurant, it doesn't have to be specifically clients, but it could also be other chefs.
Yeah.
So, but is it a case of you got to just pick one and go with it and see how it goes and iterate along the way? Because those three things, like to add to my pool, like the idea of curation is something that could be really powerful. And something that I've not even considered before. So if you've not even, if all you're sharing is your finished product at the moment, start by documenting the process and doing that, but also start curating.
Yeah. Like curating could be, you know, okay, everybody watches the future a lot. You could just chop a 1 minute little bit that was like, man, that bit really was really dope. And you could just put it in your feed. And everybody would appreciate you more. You don't have to keep, you know, you're not just going to turn to a future fan page. But even Chris Doe's feed. Does Chris Doe put any of his work up? No, he doesn't. He puts up posters of da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da from 1962. And you're like, man, I never knew about this artist, but this graphic artist is really amazing. And you appreciate him more for showing you something that you never knew and presenting it into a way that was edible. Like, you know, oh, I can chew this. Because you're not going to go look in that thick textbook of all the designers from 1959 and 1846. No, but he knows. He does them. So now he's taken that, ripped that page out, and then cut it up for you and presented it to you on an Instagram page. And you're grateful that he did that to you, for you, because now you know something that you didn't know. But that's pure curation. He didn't make those posters. So he makes original content on YouTube. He curates on Instagram. And he conversates on Twitter. He's got like the perfect balance on each platform. So you can absolutely curate on Instagram. If you want to, you know, as a designer, if you want a perfect example, it's Chris Doe. It's Instagram. It's nearly every account on Instagram. They curate a lot. Yes. And it's, there was this rule, it's like 50, 30, 20. 50% curation, 30%, can't remember. I've got it on my phone.
Is it like 50% curation, 30% documentation, 20% creation or something like that?
Yes. But give me a second. I've got it right here.
So while you're looking for that, another thing to consider is the idea.
Yeah.
We're all in school, and you imagine you're in school in English or in art or whichever subject it was in. You would make, I don't know about you, but you'd make collages. You'd cut things out of magazines.
Exactly.
You'd write your own piece on it. Like you'd add your own content, your own thing, but you'd also collage all this other stuff together made by other people.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a way to consider your entire social ecosystem, is that it's going to be a collage of curation, documentation, and creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I feel like when you get into like a space of, oh, Instagram and everybody's making their own logos, you kind of get a bit scared, or you kind of get a bit self-conscious, like, man, am I stealing somebody else's content for my own personal gain? It's like, no, you're not. If you put up somebody's work and you add them and they get upset and they want you to take it down, that's fair enough. You take it down. Do you get what I mean? That's cool. Just never post that person's content again, or ask them for permission. Do you know what I mean? I know there's a lot of stuff going around with the meme pages and ask them for permission and stuff like that. But that's a completely different game, because they were using it to advertise their own stuff, and that's advertisement, and you pay people for adverts. But that's different. But yeah, so the 5-3-2 or 50%, 30%, 20% is 50% curation, 30% creation, so you create your own stuff, and 20% humanization. So that's getting personal. So, well, I like to say personalization rather than humanization. Nobody says humanization.
Literally sounds like something out of the Matrix.
Yeah, I'm gonna humanize this AI now. Yeah. So personalization. So give them a bit of you. So, hey, I'm tired today. Hey, do you think I should put my hair red or blue? Hey, up or down or whatever, right? You make sure you know that you're a human being and you're there. And I started doing that. I'm like, every now and then I'd be like, just put something personal. Like, oh, I'm in the cinema. You know I'm a human being. You can see the type of film I'm watching. You can see the type of film I like. You can connect with me. Oh, this is the song I'm putting up. So if anybody else likes that song. So it's not all like, hey, branded stories and all this kind of stuff. Because that gets too much sometimes, even for me. So it must get too much for other people. So it's like, okay, this person's cool too, you know. He goes rollerblading on a Saturday. And then your curation is me not, you know, me talking to face the camera or giving, you know, not even my opinion on something. I'm just talking about a subject that I've come up with. Not necessarily something that's been researched or something that's happening to me. So I'm creating my own content. So my own video, my own live show, my own podcast, that's my creation. But for the most part, you just gather people's stuff. Will Smith does it really well as well. Ellen really does it as well. On her show, she's always getting people that have just blown up on the internet on her show. She's curating. Every day when you wake up, you have a bath, you get dressed, you're curating your clothes. You didn't design those clothes.
I thought you were about to say share your bath. Let's get personal, guys. Actually, now, having said that, though, one of my mates, Paul, if you're listening, it's very funny. He regularly will just get in the bath and, like, have a bit of personalization time and just, like, share a strong opinion about something.
And DJ Khaled did that as well. But that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Everybody loved it when DJ Khaled, I'm sure there's other people that do it as well. That's amazing. I would watch that. Because it's different. Who goes in the shower and starts talking?
Oh, mate, like, there's that thing with DJ Khaled. I distinctly remember a Snapchat from DJ Khaled being like, I'm in the shower, and he's like promoting Dove soap in the shower.
Yeah, and he's proper like buffing. He's like, what are you doing? But the entertainment value is so high that you kind of look past like, well, this is kind of, not disgusting, but this is kind of funny. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, again, like I said, your friend's doing something different. He could have sat behind a wall and spoke like everybody else. But if you're in the shower, you're like deep in the bush talking about branding. And I was like, why is this boy deep in the bush talking about branding? This makes no sense. But the entertainment value, I might try that actually.
Just go to the gym on the treadmill, like panting, going, oh, logos, branding.
Well, like obviously we're being silly, but to a point.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
To like shower, an extreme example, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Be in a shower talking, be in a bush, be under your bed, you know. Like, yeah, so, you know, because
today
that adds
quiet
to
quiet nightmare stories.
I'm currently hiding from the clan under my bed. Like, because it makes it funny, you know, shine a torch and be like, so today I'm clan from hell, because it makes it funny. Do you know what I mean? We loved Steve Irwin because he was like getting down low with the Tigers. He could have just been from afar and be like, yeah, that's an alligator over there and all of that. We love David Attenborough because he's like staring in a tiger's bloody face while saying, look at this beast, she's about to eat me. Exactly, here we are with this majestic animal. And that's why we love him, because of the way he does it.
To wrap up the show, man, what would be some of your favorite tips that you would give out to someone who's trying to do these things, who's considering moving away from just showcasing the final product, and they want to start showing their document, like their process, but also curating things? What would be some tips to get them started so that it feels easy, so they get away from that overthinking?
Yeah, so I think everything starts in your mind. A lot of things start in your mind. I think that's what people negate. People always think that, oh, I have to produce something. No, you have to think about something differently first. You have to see it differently. So get out, first of all, change your mind, sit down with yourself, speak to yourself, that little voice in your head. Get out of your brain that curation is theft, or you shouldn't do it, when everything you look at is curated. Everything you do is curated. Everywhere you go, there's a curation involved. And stop overthinking it again. I've said that many times. I'm going to say it again. Stop overthinking it and stop looking at other people's example. Look at yourself, write down, what else do I do? there's something else that you do that you could show people, or you could talk about, or you could write about. So look, what I think that's just, there's only two things. Change your mindset about the way you feel about curation and other people's stuff, and whatever else you do, figure it the hell out. Shoot some video and see if you're good at video. If you're not good at video, you will find out very quickly. Just like when I was young, I found out very quickly I was no good at football. So, shoot some video, and I don't play football because I'm no good at it. Shoot some video, and you will find out if you're good at it. Write about something. Say I'm going to write 200 words, 100 words. Read it back. Show it to your mom. Show it to your sister. Show it to your girlfriend. Show it to your friend. Ask them, is this good? They will tell you if you're good at it. Ask a colleague at work. Speak on a mic. Record yourself in a podcast or something just for practice, and you will figure out whether you are. There's only three things to do: is write, video, or audio, right? So try all three of them out and figure out what it is you do. So after you've figured out your medium, you need to figure out your subject. So what else do you, so you do this logo cape, that's cool, the logo's amazing, perfect. How did you get there? What kind of bumps did you have along the way? Did you take too long? Did you lose money? I know a lot of people don't talk about finances. That's kind of one thing I actually wanted to really talk about. I know Future talk about how to get money. I don't think a lot of designers talk about finances. Like, I charged 10K for this. I made 2K profit. I paid 1K tax. I registered my business. These are the things I'm having trouble with, my actual registering of business, stuff like that. This is another idea. I'm going off topic. But you get what I mean. So pick a topic that nobody is talking about in this way. Like you said, go into a bush, go under your bed. Future talks about topics that other people talk about, but not in the way they talk about it. They go live. There's no practice when you're in live. You can't, it's not scripted. It's just you and the camera. And if you fart on camera, that's on camera. That's live. So they talk about something. They talk about something in a way that nobody else talks about it. So yes, go into that shower and talk about the project you're about to start getting your day started. Whether you hate it, whether you love it, whatever. Obviously, don't say you hate it, because if a client sees it, you're going to be pissed. But talk about the hiccups you're having, you know. So pick your medium and pick your subject and pick the way you talk about it in a way that nobody else talks about it. Some people are just hilarious. So if you get them on a podcast talking about something, it's going to be super hilarious. If you get them writing about it, they can't write funny. Do you know what I mean? Some people are camera shy. So even though they're hilarious, when they go on camera, they can't be funny because they're conscious that they're looking at this camera. They want their lights, camera, action. But if you're talking about something and nobody can see you, you could be naked, you could be in a bed, you could be in your pants, you could be in a onesie with a teddy bear ears or whatever, that might be a medium. So find out where you act the best, where you are your best self, and talk about whatever it is you do in the way you do it. So I'm gonna run down again because I went off again.
And
so,
if you are sat at home, let me kind of condense that and can like bring that to the forefront. If you're sat at home listening to that and that is not validation enough for you to start doing something, maybe you need to be looking a bit harder into what you actually want to do. Because what Brian has just explained is pretty much every step you need to take to get going, and then it's just a case of being consistent with it.
Yeah. And oh my God, consistency is the most important thing ever.
Exactly. And well, something I heard the other day, it's something like momentum becomes confidence, which then confidence becomes certainty. So you have to start with momentum, and you have to start. Yeah. Something that Sean McCabe says is that you can't steer a parked car.
Yeah.
You're not going to go anywhere if you're not doing anything. So take what Brian has just said, start to build and curate and document and produce whatever you think is going to be working best for you. Just because someone's doing video doesn't mean you have to do video.
Exactly.
Just because someone's writing blog posts doesn't mean you have to write blog posts.
Exactly.
Try all of it, see what works best for you, and go from there. So thank you very much, Brian. We're going to wrap up there. Where are people going to be able to find you online? Have you got anything exciting coming up?
I've got a few things, but I don't like to say what I'm going to do because that gives me pressure to do it. And I like to take my time sometimes. So just find me at the BKH on Instagram, and from there you can find everything else. But that's like my base. So just to make it simple, at the THEBKH. Yeah, and that's it. But stay tuned, I've got a lot of stuff coming up.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much for joining us today. All those links are going to be in the description. And if you've listened to the show and really enjoyed it today, please go and share a clip with us or something like that on Instagram. You can tag me at CFowlerDesign. You can also use the hashtag FowlerHour. And if you're really nice, you could leave us a review on somewhere like iTunes or your podcasting app. So thank you very much for tuning in today, and we will see you again next week. Bye for now. Bye.